The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to the tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenant to collect his produce. But the tenant seized his slaves and beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures that the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared for the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sometimes this world that we live in makes absolutely no sense. None. Here we are, almost a full week later, from the horrible violence in Las Vegas. And I'm still trying to figure out how to pray, what to say. We're not meant to experience wrath and violence like this. We're not. But it seems that we are more and more. Our world is broken. The systems that we have in place are failing us. And the pain and sorrow becomes unbearable at a faster and faster rate. And last week, on Monday, when we gathered together for an impromptu service against the violence in Las Vegas, there was comfort in that, at least for me. There was comfort in gathering with people whose only response that we can make to the face of evil is to pray. And where I was falling short, somebody else was doing double time. And to share a meal around the table was like a reset, a fresh start, an opportunity to remember that God loved us and loves us enough to send Jesus. And when Jesus gathered with his friends at table, even in the midst of horrible strife and people in positions of power wanting nothing more than to kill him, he still took time to gather around the table. Because it is true in the prayer that we prayed on Monday is that it's not through brutality that this world will be saved, but it is through the common supper of bread and wine that this world will be saved. I lean heavily into the book of Romans on occasions like this, when I don't know how to pray or what to say. We hear in Romans that the Spirit intercedes on our behalf with sighs too deep for words. And so if you found yourself going to God in prayer this week and throwing your hands up in the air because you're like, how am I supposed to pray for this? Just know that on your behalf, the Spirit interceded on your behalf with sighs too deep for words. And our wordless prayers have been woven into a tapestry that is helping to heal the world, heal this country. And I believe that through the power of prayer, what is wrong with our world can be healed. And when things get too big or too much for me to handle, and I turn the TV off or I close my laptop or go for a ride on my bike or take the dogs for a walk, sometimes, and I encourage this with each of us, step away. You're not letting anybody down if you need to step away for a little bit. And go do something that is caretaking for you, that sustains you, that feeds you. There'll be time again, no worries, that you'll be called on to offer yourself in prayer and in outreach and in ministry. But every once in a while, it's okay to step back and take care of you. So yesterday, Barbie and I did exactly that. We went to a winery. And I think it's because I read all the texts for today's Sunday, right? We're going to the winery everywhere in the text today. So, yeah, we went to Raffaldini. Is that how I say it? Right. Oh, my gosh. Good suggestion. And we enjoyed the fruit of the vine, and we enjoyed the company of our poor, and we enjoyed the ride out, on the ride back, and for that entire time. Not because I don't care, but because I needed a break. I didn't think about Las Vegas. I still am praying. I'm praying for the family of the shooter. I'm praying for all the families that have been impacted. But for 5 glorious hours, I let somebody else take the wheel. When you begin with a vineyard, it takes a while to get a vineyard prepared. And even after a vineyard has been prepared and the seeds have been planted and the vines are sprouting, it sometimes takes upwards of 7 years before any fruit that's worth, you know, collecting comes onto the vine. You really don't want those first grapes as a part of your glass of wine. I'll just tell you that right now. Maybe you do. I don't know. My tastes are different than your tastes. But it does. It takes a while. So the landowner put in a lot of time and a lot of energy to get this vineyard ready. And maybe he was tired and he was like, you know what? I've done all the hard work. Let me rent this out to somebody else. And when the time comes and the fruit comes in, then I will collect a portion of it. And they will have a portion of it, and we will live in peace and harmony. Everybody wins. Well, apparently the landowner didn't do a background check or call references. Because when the time came for the tenants to offer back to the landowner the half of the bargain that they agreed to, the landowner's servants were met with violence instead. Not once, but twice. And each time, the landowner was giving the tenants the benefit of the doubt. And the third time, the landowner says, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to send my son. They're going to respect my son. Any person worth their salt is going to respect the son of the landowner. And when the tenants saw the guy coming, They didn't prepare a feast for his arrival. They didn't clean a room for him to stay in. They didn't offer anything for him to drink or water to wash his hands and his feet, which are the rules and customs of hospitality in the Jewish tradition. No. They killed him. Out of greed. They killed him. Out of spite. They killed him so that they could receive what would have rightfully been his. And then Jesus pauses when he's telling this parable and he asks the Pharisees and the high priests. And he said, so what do you think the landowner is going to do now? And via their study and via their intellect and via their, you know, ability to surmise a situation, they say, well, the tenants are going to get thrown out. And the landowner is going to bring in new tenants. And you could hear bells and whistles all over the place when they gave the answer, because maybe it's starting to hit home for them that they need to appreciate and understand who Jesus truly is. But when it starts to sink in to the Pharisees and the high priests, who's who in this parable? Then they get frightened. And they immediately want to arrest him and kill him, but they can't because everybody else in this room is following Jesus, and they're outnumbered. In reality, in this parable, you know, the landowner is who? God, right? The tenants are who? Say the Pharisees and the high priests. The first round of servants is the law of Moses. The second round are the prophets. And the third, the son, is Jesus. Right. But here's what's interesting. Even after the landowner sees that the law and the prophets have not been received well, to say the least, God said, I'm still going to send my son. I'm still going to send him because I long to be in relationship with this world. And I long to be in relationship and keep the end of the bargain that I have made with these people, even though they continuously let me down. I will not withhold one thing from them. Not one thing will be withheld. And the answer that the Pharisees give to what do you think the landowner is going to do came from the Pharisees and the high priest. It did not come from Jesus. But they got it in saying that this is the way that they will be dealt with. We are all tenants in this vineyard, each of us. We have been given gifts by the landowner. We have been given abilities by the landowner. And when harvest times come, when we have been at work using our gifts and our skills and our abilities, the time will come when we need to offer some of that back to God. That is the nature of the relationship that we have. Not that God withholds anything from us, but ultimately sometimes it's us trying to withhold something from God, which is not okay in the whole grand scheme of things. And when I think about the events of this past week, and I think about the landowner and how our God is intimately aware with how painful it is to lose a child, and I think about God being present with each of those family members whose loved one has been lost to gun violence or whose family has been touched in one way or another by the shootings in Las Vegas. And it's hard for me not to say that the landowner would love nothing more than if the 15 that were sent from Columbine came back whole and alive. If the 32 from Virginia Tech came back whole and alive. that the 49 killed in Orlando came back home alive. And the 9 from Charleston, and the 14 from San Bernardino, and the 12 from Washington, D.C., and the 27 little ones from Newtown, Connecticut. But each of them were met with violence. And yet God still is trying hard to reach the tenants. We are each tenants, you know. And we are given the opportunity to create a place and a space that is hospitable for anybody who comes and visits us. To create an atmosphere where we don't withhold our first fruits, we give it all away. And to emulate what it means to be faithful and believe in the God of abundance and to believe in a God that says, I love you so much. Even though I know what you're going to do to my son, I will send him anyway because we cannot get to resurrection without Jesus dying first. And we can't get to a promise of life eternal without resurrection. So as we make our way through this week and the days to come, and the media still feels it necessary to try to understand how did this happen, and they will dig in every nook and cranny to find out and to give it a reason so that we can do an inventory to make sure that we're not like him at all, right? If he did it because he hated a particular religion, well, then we'll do an inventory to make sure that we are open and receptive to people of different faiths. If he did it because he was just sick and tired of the world, well, then we'll do an inventory to ensure that we are offering ourselves to fill in the gaps in this broken and beautiful world. We may never know why, and I think that's the most frustrating thing of all. And we may not know why in a long list of reasons and people who've done harm. But what we can do and what is ours to hold on to is to be the tenants of a vineyard that says, welcome. Here, have some. Let us celebrate the harvest. And let us always be mindful that the Jesus of the feast would always enjoy and share a glass of wine with a stranger. And that's what we're here to do. Share and to love, to repent and to be forgiven, to be fed and nourished, so that when it comes time for the landowner to arrive, that we are rested and ready and able. Amen.